for years, publishing when we live in the .NET space has been pretty straightforward. We knew we were going to IIS and we were going to be hosted on Windows. Why the heck do I need to know what a reverse proxy is? Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to chat a little bit about reverse proxies, what they are, why you need them, and what they're the reverse of. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess if we're going to have a reverse proxy, we should define what a forward proxy is first. So this is what most people have seen and are aware of in terms of proxies, and this is when you're connecting to the internet, you don't connect directly to the internet, you connect via a proxy. And the role of that proxy is a couple of fold. One, it will speed up pages that are commonly loaded. So say you're working for a company and they say, everybody go to this site here and download something, some new Windows update or something. Well, that could be cached by the reverse proxy or by the forward proxy. And so instead of having to go out to this website repeatedly and incurring network bandwidth, everything is already cached locally on the proxy. It can also be used to foil people's plans for going to useful websites at work, and instead block them and tell them that they can't go there for a myriad of reasons. I'm also told that there are websites out there that contain questionable content that might not be appropriate for work. I am totally unaware of any website like that.
They originate in Eastern Canada, from what I'm told.
I'm trying so hard right now to avoid a joke about the U.S. political situation and which websites might be blocked. But... All right. So that would be a forward proxy. So it's basically something that sits between an end user's computer and server and reduces the load on the external servers and stuff outside of the company.
Ostensibly, it provides caching. It provides some filtering on the outbound requests, but also it could provide a measure of security as well. I think there's proxies out there that support blacklisted sites, so that not just for questionable content, but also for known inappropriate use of network resources, such as torrenting, or maybe there's hacker-related sites or sites that have been blacklisted because they've got malware on them. So there's services that can actually feed in blacklists of sites and then prevent your users, or perhaps save your users from hitting them.
Yeah, I've seen corporate proxies do some really interesting things before. Remember back when MSN Messenger was a thing, or Windows Messenger?
Yes.
I started a chat with my wife at one point, and she was at a fairly large organization. So I initiated a chat with her, just said hi, and then I got a message back that was kind of inserted into the conversation by that company's proxy server, saying, just so you know, this company, Inc., is monitoring these messages and we'll be storing them for... This is kind of crazy to see, but interesting things going on.
At least they're open about it, though, right?
Yeah, they told you about it.
So this is a forward proxy. Then what is the role of a reverse proxy?
Right, so the reverse proxy also sits between end users' computers and the servers, but it sits more on the server side. So when my computer initiates a connection, instead of getting the actual web server that I'm connecting to, I might get a proxy server in between, reverse proxy server, which will do a number of possible things. It has a number of possible roles, but it sits in front of the web server on the other end and reduces some of the load on it. So a bunch of things that you could do with it are you could have in place for reducing load on the web servers, because web server performance is important, and it might be that there's a lot of static content on there that you can pull off. You could keep that on the web server itself and do the caching on there, but it's sometimes nice to put that off into like a whole other tier that is responsible just for that sort of thing. You could do your SSL terminations on the proxy. So it would be SSL from the client computer all the way over the internet until you got to the reverse proxy server on the other end, and then it would do the decryption and pass it onto the web server. Again, it could be in place just to reduce the load on the web server, or it could be that you're on a reverse proxy that has specific hardware for doing accelerated SSL, which is not super uncommon, I don't think. You could have a reverse proxy in place that would forward requests to a number of different services. So if you're behind some sort of like microservice architecture, you don't want people necessarily to know that you're doing a bunch of different microservices by giving them a bunch of different endpoints, then you could set up a proxy server that would kind of spawn the processes out, and it would be the one that would be responsible for knowing about the true service locations and just provide a veneer out to the real world, implying that you only had one server or one endpoint. It could do things like compressing or changing protocols. So a good example of this is the Nginx web server can be used as a reverse proxy into Kestrel. So Kestrel doesn't support HTTP2, and Nginx does, kind of. So you could use that to do your kind of HTTP2 terminations and speed up people's downloads.
Okay, so the forward proxy server, the one that we know then, kind of, we can look at that as something that serves either the user or the enterprise or the organization for which the user is, from which the user is accessing the internet. In terms of the reverse proxy server, it is something that benefits the web server that's hosting an application, and it can augment it in certain ways. You mentioned, for example, HTTP2 not supported by Kestrel. Kestrel also doesn't have multiple port bindings. So, you know, there's these other things as well. And we start to get into this place where we kind of need to know a little bit more about why we need to know a little bit more about it, I guess, because this is something that is coming and going to be front and center for, and maybe not even front and center, but I think it's an important part of the pipeline, the request pipeline that we need to be aware of now. Mm-hmm. And that is when we move to ASP.NET Core, we will be running on Kestrel.
Right. So ASP.NET Core pretty much just runs on Kestrel. So even if you're hosting on IIS, you're still running an instance of Kestrel behind the scenes. And in that scenario, IIS acts as a proxy to just forward requests onto Kestrel. So there's a special HTTP module which is loaded inside of IIS, and that is what's responsible for forwarding requests onto Kestrel.
So, and then when we want to look at, and I mean, I think that for the most part, what we're going to see is if we're, you know, if we're in Windows or if we're in Azure, we're not going to have to think about that maybe as much. We're going to, the deployment scenario is still going to be pretty much the same for us. If we're using web deploy, if we're using the deployment tools inside Azure, things are going to feel pretty much as they do today. And we're going to go out there and we won't even really know that we're sitting in Kestrel. So the reverse proxy will sit in IIS. It will do things like SSL for us. It will do things like the multiple port bindings and host header bindings and things like that that Kestrel doesn't support. And Kestrel will do the thing that it's good at, which is hosting the applications for us. So that becomes our host. And then the proxy server sits in IIS. So what are our options when we go to other platforms then?
Other platforms, Nginx is probably your best bet there. You could probably use Apache too. I haven't seen anybody using Apache as a proxy in front of Kestrel, but I would imagine it's possible. I mean, there's a million configuration options, and Apache, surely one of them is what we need. But yeah, Nginx is sort of the cool tool at the moment, so everybody's doing things that way.
And I think that's why we've already done more than one episode on Nginx.
Yeah, indeed.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so we'll make sure that we link that into our footnotes as well on this episode. Other special considerations for why reverse proxy is there?
Well, we talked through a bunch of them. We can use it for securing stuff with SSL. We can distribute the load or reduce the load on expensive backend services. We can hide information about our server. So it's possible that maybe there's some security flaw in the server that we're running and we know about it, or people know about it. By putting that proxy server in place there, we can strip out any extra information that server might be accidentally sending back that would help identify it and give people a vector of attack against it. We could probably do some denial of service attack blocking at a reverse proxy level, but that would be, I don't think you would generally want to do that at that level. You'd want to do that kind of before it even hits reverse
Something, right.
proxy.
And then I know that some people have used reverse proxy in a scenario, having a configuration where headers are inspected before and they do something with versioning as well. Where.
I guess you could use it for versioning too. So perhaps if there was like a V2 or a V1 endpoint, then you could use that to route content differently to different services behind the scenes.
Right. Right, so lots of interesting uses for us there. And yeah, while if we decide to sit inside the .NET Windows IIS space, we probably don't have to get too familiar with it. It's probably just important to know that's another component and what's going on there and inside of our application as we execute. And it's also good to know that we've got the option to move to other platforms and that we're going to need to use something to sit there as a reverse proxy if we want more than one application running on a server.
Yeah, I think where people probably run into this first is they have an app that's up and running, built ASP.NET Core, and they go do the thing that we used to always do, which is maybe start and stop the worker process in IIS. And if you do that now in ASP.NET Core, that's not necessarily going to reboot your application the way you think it will, because it's only that IIS piece, the reverse proxy piece, that's going to get restarted, not necessarily the Kestrel web server that's hosting it. I'm not sure, it might actually kill the process.
Pretty sure it'll kill the
It
process,
will.
but I haven't tested that for sure. But definitely something that would be interesting to look at.
Yeah, something we can do with an maybe even an in-memory caching test or something like that, recycle and then cycling IIS or whatever. Very cool. So some interesting tidbits there.
I like to think that it's a great pattern for people to use. Even if you don't have a huge website, it could be useful to offload some of that load to some sort of cheap and easy to access resource instead of having to put together an even bigger web server. Because that can be a problem. Like if you're running just on a single web server and you're coming to the point where you've got to put in the expense to scale it out, like you're running on some sort of legacy system, or you've made some decisions in your architecture that make scaling out very difficult to do. Then having a reverse proxy in there might buy you a little bit more time before you have to get into that difficult, how do we scale this thing out discussion.
Right.
Well, I think that's pretty much everything that I had on proxies, reverse, forward, or any other type.
Are there other types of proxies that we could talk about? We've got forward and reverse proxies. What about up and down proxies? Are those a thing?
There's some voting
Seems
proxies,
voting
like
proxies. This happens in U.S. elections. Do you know, I heard that for the next U.S. election that they're going to require that all candidates are adults.
That's
Ouch.
gonna make for some interesting debates.
Well, with that, thanks everyone for joining us again here on the ASP.NET Monsters. Remember to like, comment, share, and send us an email with your comments or questions.
Yeah, and everybody who does will get one of these wonderful. I'm holding it up now, Dave and Simon. I know you can't see this, but this is a sticker with the monsters on it. And as everyone knows, we have seen one or two hertz improvements on laptops just by affixing this to the laptop case.
True story.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks a lot, everyone.
See everybody next time.
Cheers.